was crazy. Be safe while you're driving home. 2 weeks ago, the last time I was here preaching, sorry, I have to turn my mic on. 2 weeks ago, the last time I was here preaching, we talked about Saul and the reason why he failed as a spiritual leader. And that was because he had no patience and he had no integrity. And today I want to talk about someone who actually was a successful spiritual leader, David. Now, David was also a king of Israel. He also failed at times as a spiritual leader, and he sinned. But overall, he was successful. And this is why, is because he redeemed himself. He redeemed himself after he fell, if you will. And what I want you to see this morning is that real heroes redeem themselves. Real heroes and real leaders redeem themselves. Now, this is a a common movie and TV trope, the idea of the hero's redemption, where the bad guy, you know, changes his ways, sees that what he was doing is wrong, redeems himself, and ends up becoming the hero at the end of the movie. It's almost Christmas time, and it makes me think of the movie The Grinch. The Grinch was a good example of this. You know, he started off evil, and at the end of the movie, everybody loves him, right? He redeemed himself through what he did. He changed his ways. And also, another person in the Bible who did this, another example, would be Paul. Think about how Paul, first off, was persecuting Christians and killing Christians, but ended up seeing the error of his ways, seeing the light, if you will, and turned to Christ, and ended up being one of the best evangelists that Christianity has ever had. And so, again, I want us to think about this idea that heroes redeem themselves, real heroes redeem themselves. So this morning, if you will, open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 24. I want to talk about David's biggest sin. And it's not Bathsheba. It's not his sin with Bathsheba. That's not what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about this sin found in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And again, we're going to look at how David redeemed himself after he sinned, after he fell short as a spiritual leader. How did he redeem himself? So first off, again, 2 Samuel chapter 24, if you look at verses 1 through 4, we see his sin. Now it says, "Now again the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and it incited David against them to say, 'Go number Israel and Judah.' And the king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, 'Go about now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and register the people, that I may know the number of the people.' But Joab said to the king, 'Now may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord the king still see. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing?' Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out from the presence of the king to register the people of Israel." Now, it's not really clear why this was a sin. We'll get into it and we'll see that this was a sin. David asking for a census to be taken of the people. One idea is that there's another reference to this in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1, and you see that it says that Satan was actually the one inciting this to happen. It says, "Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel and to have the census done." And so it could have been, you know, a test, kind of like the one that Job had to suffer through. But also, if you think about it, it really shows arrogance on David's part. Knowing how many people he ruled over gave him something to brag about, right? And so we're not really too sure why exactly God considered this a sin, but we know that it is. David sins in asking for this census to be taken out. Now, Romans 3:23 says that, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? We all sin. That's just part of being human, right? And so David fails as a spiritual leader, but everybody fails from one time to another. Everybody sins, right? And so it's not necessarily the sin that counts, but it's what we do afterward that counts. Because we see, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, Saul, he sinned and he never came back from that. He never changed his ways. He never picked himself up and really became a leader again, unlike David. We'll see in these next few verses how David redeemed himself as a leader. Again, it's what we do after we sin that counts. And so we see, first off, in verse 10, the first part of verse 10, we see that David recognizes his sin. And this is the first step towards him redeeming himself. It says, again, back in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10, "Now David's heart troubled him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, 'I have sinned greatly in what I have done.'" And so we see that David became self-aware, right? He felt guilty because of his sin, and he was not delusional, but he was honest with himself, right? And he knew that he had sinned. He knew that he had fallen short, and he understood that. Now, this understanding that you have a problem, right? This understanding that you have a sin problem or a problem with another habit in your life, it's the first step to changing that. If you look at at Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step program, the first step is this. It says, "We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable." That is their first step towards changing their alcoholism, right? It's just understanding that they have a problem. Just getting yourself to accept that is such a huge thing. Recognizing and admitting that you have a problem with a certain behavior, whether it's sin or anything else, it's the first step to changing that behavior, right? And this is the step that Saul really never made it past. He never really recognized his sin, and he was never really honest with himself and admitted it to other people that he had sinned. And this is the first step that we have to take if we want to come closer to God, right? We all have lived sinful lives in the past. You know, we've all sinned. And our first step towards redeeming ourselves, our first step to salvation or redemption from sin, is to recognize that sin and admit it in our own life. And so that's that first step that we have to take. It's the first step David took, and we have to as well. We'll see the second step that David took is in the next verse, or later on in this verse. Stay with me here in verse 10. It says, "So David said to the Lord, 'I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted very foolishly.'" And so not only does he admit that he has a problem, and he not only recognizes that, but he's looking for help, right? And he asks for forgiveness. This is his second the second step, right, to redeeming yourself. David asks for forgiveness. He begs for his iniquity to be taken away, for his sins to be taken away. Now, if you look at Psalm 51, if you open up to Psalm 51, you'll see a psalm that David wrote. He wrote this after he had committed his sin with Bathsheba. And this really shows what our what it looks like when we should be asking for forgiveness. This is what it should look like. This is what our repentance should look like. This is how David repented. Notice some of the words here. He says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." And he goes on later in verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation." And he goes on, and feel free to read this on your own. And there are a few other psalms that he wrote during that same time that also show his attitude when it comes to begging for forgiveness. But this is how we should approach God, right? This is how we should come to God when we have sins in our lives. We have to understand our place. We have to understand where God is and the power that he has and how small we are compared to him. And understand that, yes, everyone sins, but it's still a problem. It's still going to lead us to eternal death in the end, right? And so David repented very honestly, and he was very sincere with it. And you can see that throughout this chapter, Psalm 51. But I imagine that some of his repentance in this situation was similar to that. Some of the words that he used when he was praying to God, I'm sure he had a similar reaction. But we have to ask for forgiveness, right? That is the second step towards redeeming ourselves, to being redeemed from our sins, is to ask for forgiveness. You know, and if we want to, you know, get to heaven one day, if we want to be a part of the body of Christians, we have to ask for forgiveness of our sins. Now, the third thing that David does is that David has to face the consequences of his sin. Now, we'll see in verses 11 through 15, David has to face the consequences of his sin. So it says, starting again, 2 Samuel 24, verse 11, it says, "When David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, 'Go and speak to David. Thus the Lord says, I am offering you three things. Choose for yourself one of them, which I will do to you.' So Gad came to David and told him, and said to him, 'Shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and see what answer I shall return to him and him who sent me.' And David said to Gad, 'I am in great distress. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man.' So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning until the appointed time, and 70,000 men of the people from Dan to Beersheba died." This is why I like to call this David's biggest sin. Just because of the consequences of this sin. You know, sure, his sin with Bathsheba was great too. You know, he slept with a woman and then had her husband killed to cover it up, and that certainly was a crazy thing to do, and he ended up losing his son because of it. But the consequences of this sin are far greater. And it's not David who is facing these consequences necessarily. The people of Israel are the ones who suffer. Now, 70,000 people died just on that first day after, you know, David had sinned. 70,000 people died. And to put this into perspective, this is about 5% of the total population of Israel at that time. Because of their census, we know that they had about 1.5 million people. And so 70,000 people, that's about 5% of the whole population. And that's a lot. That's a huge number, a huge percentage. One of the biggest death tolls that we've had in America was the Civil War. During the Civil War, we had about 620,000 casualties of U.S. soldiers. And that at the time was about 2% of our population. And that was, again, one of the biggest death tolls that America has ever faced. And that was only 2%. This was 5% of the whole population. This was a huge consequence because of what David did. And what I want us to understand is that sins have consequences. And they can have lasting consequences even after you come to Christ, even after you're forgiven of those sins, after you repent, change your ways. Some sins have lasting consequences. You know, many sins are illegal, and breaking the law in and of itself is a sin, meaning that if you commit a sin that is also a crime, you'll have to face the consequences of your sin even after you repent, right? Things like jail time, fines, it could even affect your future employment. You could be seen as a felon. Again, sins can have lasting consequences. You know, other sins can have health consequences, like sleeping around, you can get VDs. But most sins in general are hurtful to other people in your life. Most sins are against other people in this world, and they affect your relationship with those people, and that's also another lasting consequence that you can face from your sins. They can affect your relationships in your life. If you sin against someone, you can see those effects for a long time sometimes. And so you have to understand that you will have to face the consequences of your sin, even if you do come to Christ. Even if you do change your ways and are forgiven by God, you know, some sins have lasting consequences. Just like this, just like David's sin. Now, the next thing that David does is perhaps the most important. We'll see in verses 17 through 19 and 23 through 25, this last section of this chapter, that David does whatever it takes to fix the problem. And this is what makes him such a great leader. So, if you will, stay with me here. Turn to verse 17. It says, "Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking down the people and said, 'Behold, it is I who have sinned, and it is I who have done wrong, but these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and against my father's house.' So Gad came to David that day and said to him, 'Go up, erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite.' And David went up according to the word of Gad, just as the Lord had commanded." And again, later in verse 23, we'll see this person who he goes to buy this threshing floor, Araunah. He says, "Everything, O king, I give to the king." And Araunah said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." However, the king David said to Araunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Thus the Lord was moved by prayer for the land, and the plague was held back from Israel. See that David, first off in verse 17, asks what he can do to save his people, what he can do to make this right. God tells him in verse 18, again, to build an altar and to fix his relationship with God. And then God will relent. And we'll see, again, in verse 19 and 25, that David steps up as a leader and fixes his relationship with God, worships God, sacrifices, makes a sacrifice to God, right? And the Lord relents in his punishment. And also, just as a side note, I read verses 23 and 24 because it shows David's integrity, right? Because as a leader, because this man was willing to give him everything that was necessary for a sacrifice, but David wanted to pay for it himself. He had that integrity to know that it had to come from him. He had to be the one that was giving. He had to be the one who was really making the sacrifice. And this is the final step to redemption. Just like David, we have to be willing to do whatever it takes to make our relationship better with God, right? To fix our relationship with God. You know, for those who aren't already Christians, this means giving up your life of sin and being baptized into Christ and living the rest of your life for Christ. That's what it means to do whatever it takes. And for those who already are Christians, it means to put yourself as far away from sin as possible and draw yourself closer to God, right? We have to do whatever it takes to get away from sin and to come closer to God and to find that redemption, right? Because only in Christ will we have that redemption. David was a fantastic spiritual leader. He was not a perfect person, but neither are we. David redeemed himself after sin, first by recognizing his sin in his life, right? And then he asked for forgiveness. He understood the consequences of his sin, but he tried to fix the relationship with God, and he did whatever it took. And he really worked on that, stepped up as a leader. As a spiritual leader. And so our path to redemption from the bondage of sin is the same as David's, right? We have to understand that we have a problem with sin. We have to ask for forgiveness, you know, and repent from that sin, turn our lives around. We have to understand that, you know, physical consequences may or may not be taken away. But ultimately, we have to form a relationship with God. And we have to make sure that that relationship is the most important thing in our lives. Because that's what's going to save us in the end, right? This morning I'd like to offer an invitation to those who have not come to Christ, who maybe don't know the greatness that of God's salvation that he has for you. I want to offer that this morning. And if you have any other needs, if you want to come forward, please do that as we stand and sing.